We pray. Heavenly Father, you who spoke and created the universe, you who spoke and created faith in our hearts at our baptism, you are the one who speaks through your holy word, and we pray draw us ever closer to you through each and every word. Bless our hearing and our study, dear Lord, that we might inwardly digest all that you have spoken, that your light might shine ever brighter in the deep recesses of our soul, all to your glory and as a blessing on our head. In Jesus we pray, amen. We turn our attention to our gospel lesson, John chapter 1, for this evening's devotion. I still am amazed at how often I get messages on my cell phone from rich Nigerians who are dying. They're looking for some deserving American to hand off all their money. I wonder, how did they ever find out that I was a deserving American? Well, if they think so highly of me, maybe I should cooperate with them and have them download their millions of dollars into my checking account, right? Well, maybe not so fast. When strangers come wanting to give you all kinds of gifts, chances are they're more on the take than anything else. And we certainly have millions of salespeople in the United States, huh? All eager to bless us with their wares, whether we're talking about toys or trucks or tax-exempt annuities or whatever it might be. There's all kinds of well-meaning people who are saying, oh, you deserve a break. We're giving this stuff almost away free. You really, hurry, come on, listen to what I have to say. Come right into my showroom. Well, I deserve a break, I think. And I'm always interested in things they're almost giving away. I'm just wondering how much it'll cost me. Living in a marketplace, constantly bombarded by ads, it has made me a little skittish and cynical, I think, when fantastic offers come by. You too? A downfall of that, however, is that when Jesus comes a-calling, does some of that cynicism, shyness, get in the way of us truly listening to someone who really is trying to give us a treasure? Do we sometimes put up roadblocks and hesitant when we hear Christ calling out to us, come, follow me? Well, let's look at what those words mean on the page and in our lives. Here in our text this morning, in John chapter 1, we have a remarkable little account here of Jesus starting out his ministry and gathering his disciples around. It's a wonderful little account, but the danger is, well, we read it, we say, hooray, and then we go on to something that has a little bit more to do with our lives. Me being the cynic, I slow down on these things. I say, wait a minute here. Doesn't something seem a little amiss here? Let's walk through this again. Okay? After spending a part of a day with Jesus, Philip runs off and finds his brother Nathanael with a remarkable statement. We have found the one Moses and the prophets had been speaking about. He can only mean the Messiah. And he lists his name, Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, that's where Nathanael gets a little cold feet. Nazareth? What good thing can come from that podunk little corner of the world? So he says, come, follow. And they go to see Jesus, and Jesus makes a statement that changes it all. Oh, here is a true Israelite. Nathanael says, how do you know me? We've never met before. We haven't even gotten introduced. How do you know me? Oh, I saw you when you were under the fig tree before Philip even came to you. And now, all of a sudden, Nathanael connects the dots, and he himself comes with this beautiful expression of faith. Oh, you truly are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Is it just me, or does that seem like that all came about rather quickly? It's true. It really happened that way. This is a historical account. But what moved Nathanael to go from so doubting one moment, Nazareth, to you are the Son of God the next moment? Would you and I have reacted the same way in that circumstance? Had we walked up to Jesus? Or might we have been a little slower on the draw, a little more cautious with our statements, a little bit more reluctant to jump on board and confess him with all of our heart? We might think, well, we don't really have to answer that question because we're not back in that day and age. We kind of get to skirt the issue. No, we don't. Because even to this very day, Jesus comes and says, come, follow me. What are we going to do? Come, follow me, he says. Are we right on board like Nathanael, or do we end up stumbling as we get up to follow him? And what does that even mean? Nathanael, obviously, he walks behind him and listens to him and goes wherever Jesus goes. But what does that mean for you and me? Come, follow me, he says. We might stumble for several different reasons. One obvious reason is Jesus isn't all that popular these days. You know, in America's mind, and I, and throughout most of the world, Jesus just doesn't seem like Messiah material. People aren't scratching their heads and saying, oh, what good thing can come from Nazareth? They're scratching their heads and saying, what good thing can come from Israel? A lot of churches try to kind of Americanize Jesus, have him with a coffee cup in his hand from Starbucks, and he's really one of us, just to get people to take a double look at him. Or our skeptic mind might pop into gear and say, oh, there have been so many self-proclaimed messiahs throughout the history of the world. Oh, please, not another. Maybe we should be cautious. Maybe we should think of him more as a life coach rather than a savior from sin. That seems so much more workable. Or maybe our sinful nature really shows itself at that moment with all of its blasphemous statements. Jesus of Nazareth? Oh, you want us to take a big step backwards there. You really need to distance yourself from him because he's really kind of a fanatic, and he'll get you to be a fanatic too. After all, you're not all that sinful. You're actually pretty good, better than most. What do you have to worry about? And if anything, this Jesus fellow should be following us around to fulfill all of our prayers and give us all of our wants rather than us trailing behind him. Oh, the number our sinful nature can do on us. It's so easy to minimize what God is saying when he says, come, follow me with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and strength. We look at Nathanael. What a different situation. It's amazing in this account. It's like he goes from 0 to 60 on the faith meter in a nanosecond, and we wonder why. What made such a flip for him? And if we look at his situation, we might be able to figure out why we might not be quite so quick to the draw or quick to follow. Notice what Jesus says about Nathanael. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Pilate called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Jesus commented that in Nathanael there is nothing false. What a curious little statement. In the King James Version, they Translate this as, there is no guile. In the 2011 New International Version, they translate this phrase, there is no deceit. All of them come at this word from different angles, but they're capturing the whole sense of it. Jesus wasn't saying that Nathanael was without sin. No. And on the other extreme, he wasn't saying, oh, he's a simpleton, he's so gullible. No, he wasn't saying that either. What was he saying? What quality did he see in Nathanael? Nathanael had this quality of nothing false, no deceit in him, and that quality was born out of his study of the Old Testament. That Old Testament that convicted him, converted him, filled him with God's light, to the point where Jesus could truly say there's nothing false in him. No deceit, no guile. You see, Nathanael was convinced through the Holy Scriptures of the Old Testament to not lie to himself. And so, if he's going to be true and nothing but the truth, then Nathanael had to realize he was a sinner, a terrible sinner, who could not save himself. But the Old Testament convinced him also that there is a Messiah, promised to Adam and Eve, promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, described in all of the Old Testament. And that's why Philip, his brother, and him were looking for this one who Moses and the prophets had spoke about. They were absolutely convinced, he's coming, maybe in our lifetime. And so they were there looking. And looking for this Jesus. Just like the psalmist said that Nathanael took very much to heart, God himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. He doesn't leave us to redeem ourselves. He doesn't even send the angels on high to redeem us. God himself will redeem Israel and all people from their sins. Notice how Nathanael is the total opposite of the Jewish leaders of the day. For the Pharisees and Sadducees, there was nothing true. They were one complete deception from beginning to end. They were deceiving themselves, they were trying to deceive God, and they were certainly deceiving the people around them. Oh, they looked so good on the outside, but inside, there was no room for God's word in their heart. There was no faith in the coming Messiah. They're simply there to serve themselves, and boy, were they buying into their lies. And oh, the cancer of their lies was killing them. But how refreshing Nathanael is. He wasn't out to impress anyone. He wasn't out to make a name for himself. He didn't worry about what people thought of him. He was searching for the Messiah. He desperately needed to know the Messiah and his forgiveness. That was his quest in life, not the things of this world. And when Jesus convinced him that he was the Messiah, he would follow him to the ends of the world. Notice, Jesus spoke to him and called him to follow. It's because of Jesus' words that Nathanael was able to go from 0 to 60. Nathanael had studied that Old Testament. He was used to hearing his Savior's voice through those words. And now when Jesus came to him face to face, he heard his Savior's voice again, that glorious gospel. And Jesus' words moved his heart to believe completely, just like you and me. Are we also people in whom there is nothing false, no guile, no deception? If we were to be filled with lies and falsehood, why, we'd be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We would be hiding our sins, not repenting of our sins. We would be making excuses rather than being honest with ourselves. We would be shutting our ears to the Word of God rather than listening to them with all of our heart. God calls for us to be true, true to ourselves and true to Him. And in that very call, He opens our ears and our hearts and our lives by His grace. And He creates that miracle within us that there's nothing false. He says, come follow me. What does that mean? It means first and foremost to take Jesus at His word. And as He speaks His word upon us, He convicts our hearts. He gives us the ability to do that thing He asks of us, to take Him at His word and to have a holy yearning for that word. To come, follow me from page to page and cover to cover through my holy word that I might speak to you as I spoke to Philip and Nathaniel. That's what He's calling us to do. To take it to heart, to ponder it, to meditate on it. And you know what we find there? Find in the pages of Holy Scripture, over and over, His words of forgiveness. All those times when we wanted to distance ourselves from Jesus and not wanted to be associated as His disciples, He did not abandon us. But time and time again, has He not come after us to claim us as His own? All those times when we are hard-hearted and we did not want to repent of our sins, did He not come after us with His word, both the law to bring sorrow over our sins and that glorious good news of His forgiveness to bring joy where there is only defeat, forgiveness where there is only anguish? How many times we have been hard-hearted and so slow to respond to His word, and yet He has not given up on us. He comes and bathes us and soothes us and fills us once again with His life-giving word. That's the Lord we get to know and we listen to through the pages of Holy Scripture, a Lord who forgives and empowers us. Interesting turn in our text as Jesus almost seems surprised at Nathanael's reaction. You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. Now the danger there is that we brush too quickly over that. That's no small thing. Jesus did say, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip even came to you. But nobody was there. Nathanael's thinking. Nobody saw me. You weren't there. How did you see me? Jesus is opening up that door a crack to show him a little bit of His divine nature. Nathanael, do you get it? I know everything because I'm God, he says. I don't have to be standing next to you to see you under the fig tree. Just by being God, I know where everybody is. No one can hide from my knowledge. And Nathanael picked up on that. Isn't that an interesting thought for us too? Even when we think we are all alone and nobody sees us, we're in the darkest hole or the highest height, Christ still sees us. He also sees us when we're sinning too. Even when we're only sinning in our head or our heart, He sees that as well. But He also sees every tear of repentance and anguish. And He sees us as we take comfort in His forgiving love. He sees it all from beginning to end. Nothing is hidden from His sight. And how thankful we are. Nathanael picked up on that. And that turned everything for him. Jesus cracked open that door and showed him that He truly was God. And that's what led Nathanael to the conclusion, you are the Son of God. He took Jesus at His word. He didn't say, you're blowing smoke. No, you really did see me. Only God could have seen me in that moment. You are the Son of God, the King of Israel. And what is Jesus' reaction to such a powerful confession? Does he say, Nathanael, let's not overplay this. No, he's, you say that because I've just cracked the door open that much? Oh, just wait until I crack that door open. You're going to see a lot more than just that I can see you under a fig tree. Nathanael, you're going to see the angels ascending and descending upon me. What was Jesus telling him? Nathanael, what you have said is absolutely true. And this confession that has come off your lips, you will see it with your very own eyes. Isn't that remarkable? Jesus didn't point him to the crucifixion or to the resurrection. He could have. But even beyond that, when Jesus is sitting in all of his heavenly glory and says, Nathanael, you're going to be there. I am? Yes, because I called you. I've called you in faith, and I've called you to follow me. I've called you to be my very own, and I will preserve and protect you to the very end, so that these words you confess here on earth, you will see their reality in all of glory. Wow, I wonder how long Nathanael just pondered that promise from the lips of Jesus. We too will see him in all of his glory. As we hold on to his words, as we take Jesus at his word and hear his call to come and follow and say, yes, Lord, I will follow. I will follow right up to the gates of heaven where I will see your glory in all of its beauty. Are we ready to go from 0 to 60 on the faith meter? And say, Lord, I'm all in. Wherever you want to lead me, whatever you want me to do, lead, Lord, and I will follow. You are my master, my Lord, my Savior. Are we willing to hang on every word that comes from the mouth of God, to be his full-time disciples, and to know that in him we have perfect forgiveness of sins. We are the blood-bought children of God, and to let nothing raise any doubts there. Are we willing to trust him without any doubt and to obey him without any fear? Come, follow me, he says. And he has good and gracious plans for us. And we will see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And oh, what a glorious sight that will be. And that's a truth that's worth all of our living and our dying. May he preserve us and protect us in that precious promise. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, you have called us out of darkness to be your blood-bought children. You have called us to dig ever deeper into your word and see your light sublime. You have called us, dear Lord, to go out in this world and live for you in body, mind, soul, and spirit. Dear Lord, you have made us your own from head to foot, and may we give you glory in all of our thinking and doing. Bless us and strengthen us, dear Lord, that we might be devoted to you who have been devoted to us. In Jesus, our living Savior, we pray. Amen.